He says, this is what I desire. For my children to rise up and take their stand, to take their place and fight the warfare against the realms of darkness that have fallen, the realms of darkness that have risen. Come up against them and lift up a standard. Lift up a mighty river of living water. Let my spirit come in like a lifting up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. For it's the rushing torrents of living water that come from your spirit that overcome all the tactics of the enemy, says the Lord. For I'm looking for, this is what he's saying, I'm looking for and I'm longing for and desire with all of my being for my children to rise up, humble themselves, and discipline themselves to pray. For there's many distractions. There's many things that call out to distract. There's many portraits that the enemy paints of pleasure and peace and satisfaction. But those things only come from my realm, says the Lord. They only come from the realm of my spirit. For many things that you run after and many distractions that arise will never satisfy. But it's those who push themselves in prayer and press on through who will find that they will receive the hunger to be satisfied, says the Lord. And those who spend much time seeking my face with their whole hearts by praying in my spirit will receive a fresh anointing, says the Lord. And as my anointing teaches them all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, it will guide and direct you into all truth. For there's many revelations, and there's many bits and pieces of information that I long to get over to you that will give you it will give you what is necessary to overcome so you can operate in new realms of my prosperity and grace, says the Lord. For my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And it's those who come to know me by my spirit who will come and know all of the mysteries that are contained within my word. And as those mysteries come down, as I'm able to communicate and transmit them to your spirit, you will find you will no longer be destroyed. You will find that you no longer will be discouraged and defeated from all the tactics of the evil one, says the Lord. So seek me with your whole hearts, and you will come to find me. For I've said in my word to seek, and you shall find. But are there any who will truly seek in this age of distraction, says the Lord? Are there any who will find? So I call unto you now of my greatest desire to rise up a people who will pray. Not only when they are in need, not only when they are in dismay, but they will rise up and pray because they love me, says the Lord. They will rise up and pray because their heart's desire is to fellowship with me by my spirit. Have I not translated you out of darkness into the kingdom of light? How can it be, if you stand in the light, that you don't have eyes to see and recognize the tactics of the enemy? For you wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is not persecutions and afflictions that arise on their own, says the Lord. For it is the evil one who rises up against you. I've given you my name. I've given you my authority. And I've given you all the dominion that is necessary to overcome him. So don't be weak in the use of the authority that I've given you. For I've given you a spirit of power, says the Lord. This is in the form of a revelation. I'm going to give it to you the best that I can. Most people, until you really go through many layers of flesh, how many has been born again for more than 5 years? How many people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit for more than 5 years? Okay, so we've got some in the room that may be able to relate to this, and others may also experience this. It's not necessarily based upon how old you are in the Lord. But how many's ever noticed that there's more than one layer of flesh? How many notice that it seems like they're never-ending layers of flesh? And just when you think you've arrived at some level, it gets proved to you that there's still a lot of work to do. Amen. You see? That's part of the transformation process. But within this transformation, until you get through many, many layers of flesh, through much fasting and seeking God with your whole heart over and meditation of the Word, you know, I can tell you, even after 10 years, even after that much time, I can tell you that I still found that there's more flesh that you got to fight through. And that's after 10 years of constant fasting and prayer. I'm talking 8 to 10 hours of praying in tongues a day, 20, 30 chapters of the Bible a day for years. All that transformation, and you still find all this flesh. And I found, and some of you may learn some knowledge, maybe you can glean some knowledge, but my pastor used to say, when I was young in the Lord, he used to say that a lot of people live in an imagination that they've created in their own minds. They believe something, they create this world, and everything that they see and do operates through a filter of this world that they've created. And I can tell you, looking back at my past many, many years ago, you know, that there was definitely a lot of imaginations that not only I, but other people that are humble will admit that, yeah, there's a lot of things that I realized that I believed to be true that are not even true. Amen. And that's why the devil fights the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if he does, if God can slip it past him and get someone baptized in the Holy Spirit, he fights them from speaking in tongues once they get that gift. You see? Amen. If anybody's contentious about the speaking in tongues having to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just read through Acts chapter 10. It says, can anyone stop these people from being baptized at the water? They received the same gift that we have. He's talking about on Pentecost. Okay, that's when they spoke in tongues. Well, that's not how he said. They heard them speaking in tongues and prophesying. And then in chapter 11, when Peter had to address the apostles because they criticized him for going and eating and talking with Gentiles, he called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when they speak in tongues. Amen. So speaking in tongues is, I'd say it's the most powerful gift because it's the gateway to all of the other spiritual gifts. If you don't operate in that gift, you will never operate in the other gifts. I've never seen it. Some people prophesy simultaneously with speaking in tongues right away. It's happened. I've seen it happen. People that never even heard of tongues prophesy just a few minutes after they start speaking in tongues. But it's the gateway to all of the other 8 3/4 gifts. The 3/4 being the other 3 diversities or different kinds of tongues. We got 4 different diversities. Tongues per person edification. That's the one that you have if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then there's tongues that presents itself in a public assembly for the sole purpose of interpretation. You see me operating that on a regular basis, just about nearly every service. Tongues for interpretation. Then there's tongues that extends itself into the deep intercessional groanings of the Spirit, where God picks up a believer who's built themselves up on their most holy faith, and they're able to stand their ground against the tactics of the enemy and not get destroyed. He picks that one up by the nape of their neck and stands them in between judgment and those who are trying to go to hell. Tongues that extends itself into deeper intercessional groanings of the Spirit. And then there's also tongues that presents itself as a sign for an unbeliever, where God transcends your intellect and enables a believer who's baptized in the Holy Spirit to speak in a language that they had no previous knowledge of. That's tongues. That's a sign to the unbeliever personified when you're in a different country and your translator falls over dead. And you're either going to have to do one or two things, raise him from the dead, or God's going to have to help you feed those hungry people by speaking in their native language. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've personally met a man that's operating that gift something over 20 times. 20 different times speaking in many different languages. Anything from French to German. Amen. I see my pastor operating it once in the middle of the service, gave a tongue. For no apparent reason, there was no interpretation. It sounded to be an Asian tongue of some kind. And somebody, I heard the testimony, somebody come up after service. I've also heard of another preacher who, this is kind of a different manifestation of the Spirit. But supernaturally, while he was preaching, there was a person in the crowd that needed a translator, and they kept whispering back and forth. He kept telling them what the preacher was saying because it wasn't in his language. But supernaturally, at the end of the service, he thought he was disrupting the service, is what the preacher thought was happening. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the service, he stopped interpreting. They stopped whispering back and forth. And he asked him about it after service. He said, "Well, you started speaking in my native language." He said, "No, I didn't. I don't know any other language but English." So somehow the Holy Spirit supernaturally, from the time those words left that man's mouth, got him over into that other person's ears in his known language, even though it was a completely different language. That's a very different manifestation. But you cannot put God in a box. Amen. He manifests in many ways. Amen. Always lining up with the Word. It's always going to glorify Jesus. So we want to speak in the first diversity of tongues. Tongues for personal edification. We want to spend much time doing it. And you cannot be too young. In fact, some of you young folks, I encourage you to start doing it now or you'll regret it. Because if you'd like to be successful in life, you're praying the prayer of success. That's what it is. The more you pray in tongues, the more successful not only will you be as a Christian, but in your personal life. You say, "Pastor Dan, I pray in tongues and all I have is problems." Well, it may be problems now because Satan's trying to stop you because he knows that you're sowing seeds into a field that are underground that you cannot see, and you're also watering them. And if he can't stop you and you keep watering those seeds and tilling the soil, that the harvest will come if you do not give up.
Amen.
That's why all the problems arise. Amen. There is no one who gives their life to prayer who will not experience strong opposition from the enemy. "Well, that doesn't sound fun. I'm just going to sit here and not pray then." Well, then he's already got you under his control. You have to, as a Christian, you have to stand up and put up your dukes, if you'll allow me. You have to stand up and fight the fight of faith, he said in 1 Timothy 6:12. It's a fight. He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's evil spirits. Ephesians 6:12. You see, he told us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He said, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. He said, "We wrestle not against the flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, high places." He said, therefore, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He told us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's, first of all, the way you're going to get that is having a revelation that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It'll guard your heart. It'll guard your mind in Christ Jesus and give you confidence in the security in Christ for those who obey Him. Hebrews 5, 9 and 10. Breastplate of righteousness. Amen. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Breastplate of righteousness in place. And He says this, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The truth is the Word of God. That's our foundation. In Ephesians 4, He told you to take off. He said to put away lying. That's the opposite of truth. In Ephesians 6, He tells you to put on the belt of truth. So He's telling you a transformation needs to take place. We need to get rid of all lying. Amen. Bible says all liars will partake of the lake of fire. We don't want to go there, right? And not only that, but if you're living a lie or you're portraying yourself to be more spiritual than you really are, you're portraying yourself to be someone who you're not and living a hypocritical life, then you're destroying your spiritual perception and God will not add Himself to your lie. And you can live in an imagination. This is where He's taking us with this. You can live in an imagination and think you're something when you're nothing, the Bible says. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, the first 5 verses, He says that. It says, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You're partaking of a lie. God will not add Himself to your lie. He will not partake of your lie. He will have nothing to do with a lie now or throughout all eternity. He cannot lie, the Bible says. He does not lie, the Bible says. And He's not going to add Himself to a life that is a lie. He's not going to do it. He can't do it. Why? Because He's pure. He wants His children to be pure. Amen. You know, His word is truth, Jesus said. And that's our foundation. We need to get all the lying and all the deception, all the hypocrisy. He said to rid yourselves of all hypocrisy, all deceit. 1 Peter chapter 2:1. So we want to get rid of all the hypocrisy. That's, you know, a lot of times when people come to church, they like to make puff themselves up to look more spiritual than they really are because God's the one that sees the person at home. The person that comes to church, if the person that comes to church is different than the one at home, that's a level of hypocrisy is what it is. You're acting more spiritual than you really are. Can't say amen, say oh my. It's the facts. Whether we like it or not, we need to, you know, the Bible says the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Joints and marrow is the flesh. It's a sword that's going to cut into our flesh and deal with our hearts. It judges the thoughts and intentions and attitudes of the heart, the Bible says. It says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything's uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. His eyes are on all His creation, the Bible says. He's watching us, not with the purpose to smack us with a hammer every time we do wrong. That's not the type of God that He is. He's a merciful God, but He is looking for those who will prove themselves faithful. So we're choosing in this life not only where we're going to go for eternity, but we're also choosing what kind of reward we're going to have when we get there, or on the negative end, if we choose to go to the other place, what kind of punishment we're going to have. You see, we want to obey God fully because we're not getting away with anything. Amen. I don't get away with anything. You don't get away with anything. He sees it all. If you make it in and you're saved and you're playing games with God and you just barely squeak in, thank God He bore your failure, but you're going to have to take a look at who you really were. Amen. You're going to have to see it. 1 Corinthians 3, he says he's going to burn up the chaff. Anything that's not of God is going to get burned up. And you'll be left with whatever reward that you did have, or at least your salvation if you're playing the hypocrite. We definitely don't want to do that. Amen. So let's just obey God. So the way we get to the place where we're walking where He wants to walk, how we do that is through praying in tongues. Is it that simple, Pastor Dan? It's that simple. If you'll just read your Bible, you know, 5-10 chapters a day and pray in tongues for a few hours a day, God will get you where He needs you to be. if you don't believe me, which is the only reason you wouldn't do that, or you want to make up excuses, then you're always going to flounder as a Christian. You're going to have weak faith. You're always going to have all sorts of faith failures, and you'll barely have any success. A way to tell it like it is. These are the facts. I've observed hundreds of Christians and watched their lifestyles. I've seen successful Christians, I've seen failure Christians, and the ones that are successful as Christians are always those who give their lives to praying in tongues. Some look like they're having success, but they teach wrong doctrine. There's no success there. He said, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's conceited and understands nothing. So if someone builds themselves a church and teaches found doctrine, teaches false doctrine, has 10,000 people in there, and in the eyes of the world, it's success. Everybody says, hey, I'm going to so-and-so church. Everybody got Starbucks coffee and everything looks so good over there. And they got awesome contemporary worship. Everything's great. And then after worship, they sit down and they eat poison in their spirits. And they think that it's a steak dinner. But they're eating poison. You don't believe me? I could bring some people that will testify that they wish that they never went to the church that they went to, because now it's causing them the inability to believe truth. That's why Jesus, when he said, if anyone puts a stumbling block in the pathway of one of these little ones, it's better for him to be thrown into the depths of the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. And a stumbling block, that word in the Greek, he's making reference to a stumbling block or something according to doctrine that they may or may not recover from. That's what it's making reference to. It's false teaching. You may never recover from false teaching. You would be better off getting born again and coming off the street as a full-blown sinner and knowing nothing than going to a false church, learning false watered-down doctrine, and then later finding out about it and trying to recover. It's more difficult. Some of you in the room can testify. Some of you in the room can testify that when you first came here, you swore up and down that I was a false teacher teaching you false doctrine, but now you've read in the Word yourself and found out that I've done nothing but show you the love of God and teach the fullness of the truth.
Amen.
Some of you can testify to that. Some people can testify to that are not here today, and some people can testify to that but decided to leave anyways because they didn't want to continue in this walk of the Spirit with God. This is no easy walk. This is no game when we walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
This is business.
Yes.
This is God's business. We were to make disciples, disciplined followers of Christ. And what we're attempting to do, and I believe we are doing, is raising up a people who will pray. If we can raise up a people who will pray... Michelle, do you have your phone with you? Could you pull up that email you sent me about the three or four things that priests make mention to you? We can stop some of the things that are going on in the earth. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus wants us to pray that God's will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. There's a special way that he wants us to do this. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 through 18, he said, These signs will follow those who believe in my name, they will speak in new tongues. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says this, Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That word infirmities means the weaknesses imposed on you because of the limitations of this flesh body you live in. What kind of weaknesses? The inability to witness to your neighbor about Jesus? The inability to go to Bible college when God's telling you to do? The inability to fulfill your ministry. The inability to live a holy life. The inability to stop sinning. That's weakness, would you agree? The Holy Spirit helps us with those things. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps. That word helpeth in the Greek is sun anti lambano mahi. It's four Greek words. That was not tongues. That's four Greek words. And it means to take hold together against with. So you're taking hold of something with someone together. With who? The Holy Spirit. Against with. You're taking hold together against those weaknesses, the inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on you as of this flesh body that wants to sin. The Holy Spirit through praying in tongues, because it says we don't know what to pray for as we ought, is what the next thing says, will help us if we will pray in tongues. He will purge and prune those weaknesses out of us and turn them into strength.
Amen.
He says, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Amen. Because God will turn your weakness into strength if you'll allow Him to. Then He says this, we don't know what to pray for as young, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession, intercession, intercession. That's standing in the gap between someone who's invoked judgment upon themselves. Who is that? Well, it could possibly be a baby believer. They do all sorts of things that could bring judgment on themselves unaware.
Amen.
That's why we need the Holy Spirit, so we can have our spiritual eyes enlightened. He says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Amen?
Amen.
It's in Proverbs 10:27. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. One place says it's a searchlight of God. So by your human spirit, that's what he's making reference to as a prophecy of someone being born again. By your human spirit, the Holy Spirit will take that little flicker of a candle that's just flickering a little bit of light down under a bunch of darkness under that flesh. He'll take that and turn it into a mighty flame. Jesus said a baptism of fire, he talked about. John the Baptist said that Jesus said he's going to come and baptize with fire. Amen. A fire does what? It purifies. So if you'll allow, that's why a lot of people, they pray in tongues for a little bit and then they find themselves silent because they can't fight past those realms of darkness because God starts to deal with them. They're sitting there praying in tongues saying, God, I would like to have a new car. And God on the inside of them says, man, I wish you would start tithing.
Amen.
So I could give you a new car. And as soon as that hits, then it's just they're going to make a choice to either fight past that flesh or they're going to allow the devil to defeat them. It's a choice. Because you can't have prosperity man's way, not as a true Christian. God won't permit it. Because why? Because He disciplines us. Hebrews chapter 12 makes that very clean. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but rather painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so the lame may not be discredited, but rather healed. He says, our fathers discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness. So this discipline, the process, all these problems, he said, endure hardship is discipline. I'm going through all these problems, Pastor Dan. Nobody's ever gone through what I'm going through. Baloney. The Bible says, don't consider it strange when you go through many testings and trials. He says, your brothers and sisters around the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. That's 1 Peter 4:12 and 1 Peter 5:9. You're going through the same thing as everybody else is going through. There's probably dozens of people on the other side of the earth that are going through worse things than you are. Some people are being tortured for Christ. So we need to toughen up a little bit, and the way we do that is through the Word. The Word, if you eat a good healthy meal, you feel fit and vigorous physically. Amen? If you eat a good spiritual meal, you'll feel fit and vigorous spiritually. If you don't eat physical food for a whole day, you will grow weak physically. By the end of the day, you'll be amount to nothing. If you go 2-3 days, you're going to be real weak. Fasting. If you don't eat the Word of God, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, by every word. Every word. That's the whole Bible. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He says, like newborn babes crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word, so by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. So you're supposed to crave it. Well, Pastor Dan, I don't crave it. That's a sign of spiritual weakness and a sign of spiritual, something's wrong with you spiritually if you don't crave the Word.
Yes, Lord.
You need to figure out what that is. You need to pray about it. If you don't desire every single morning when you wake up every day, if you don't desire to get in your Bible and read it, something is wrong with you spiritually. Nobody else will tell you, but I'll tell you. I can tell you from my own walk. I can tell you from many other people's walks that if you If you don't desire to read the Word and you're just not interested anymore, something's not right with your heart and you need to find out what that is. Maybe you're putting something else ahead of God. Maybe there's some sin in your life that God's dealt with you multiple times to get rid of and you refuse to. There's many factors that can come to play, but I can tell you this much. It's a sign of spiritual sickness and weakness. Something's, you're starting the process of backsliding is what you're doing. See? And it all starts by losing the desire for the Word. He says to crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word. You're supposed to crave it like a newborn baby. If anybody's ever had a newborn baby or seen one, when they want their milk, they want it now and they will kick and scream and cry or whatever they got to do to get it. Give it to me now. That's how God wants you to be towards His Word. In other words, if anything else that comes in your path that tries to distract you from the Word, forget about it. Stop. Everything stops. The cell phone goes off. I got to have my Word. We could make a video. Michelle could follow me around all day and you'd see me. Sometimes she talks to me or something. I say, I don't have time to deal with this right now. I have to get back to the Word. Amen? And we're going to have to talk about this later after dinner. I got to read the Word right now. What are you going to do after you read the Word? I'm going to read the Word some more. What do you do when you walk the dog? I read the Word. What do you do when you brush your teeth? I read the Word. What are you doing first thing you wake up? I read the Word. What do you do before you go to bed? I read the Word. What do you do if you wake up in the middle of the night? I quote some scriptures. I read the Word. Amen. Just read the Word all day long. He said to meditate His Word day and night. Jesus is the Word. I love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you love the Word. If you don't love the Word, you do not love Jesus. I don't care what your lying lips say. It's not me that said it. It's God. He said this. If you love me, keep my commandments. And He also said this, the man who says, I know Him but doesn't do what He commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. He commands you to meditate His Word day and night. Okay? It's not optional. Not if you want to be saved. He said, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? It's no easy date to be saved. We have to fight up against, it's a war. The weapons of our warfare, He said, are not carnal. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It takes absolute, all day long, 100% full attention to every thought that enters your mind to be a successful Christian. Or Satan will destroy you. Every single thought you need to manage, every thought and analyze it through the filter of the Word. If you don't have enough Word in you and the only Word you hear is when you're at church, you're never going to know what thoughts are from God. Not going to know it. Because Satan's very subtle, it says. 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says, I fear lest by any means of the serpent, Satan, beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's the Word, Christ. So what we're supposed to do is cast down imaginations. But first, before we get to that level, we need to break down strongholds. That's a prison. That's this where we live in an imagination. We think we're okay. Some people, in fact, probably a good percentage of the majority of claiming Christians today live in an imagination. Let me give you an example. They get born again, truly born again. But in their hearts, they were really like the seed sown on stony ground. They receive the Word with joy after they hear it. But persecution and afflictions arise and they quickly fall away. How do you know they fall away? The joy left them. They're not excited about it anymore. He said, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the confidence we had at first. So if you're not as excited about the things of Jesus as you were when you first got born again, what do you want me to tell you? I'm not going to tell you you're okay. It's not okay. He said, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. Through His own glory and goodness, He's given us His very great and precious promises. That's the new nature, the born-again spirit, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So that through them, you may escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Amen. So we want to escape the corruption of the world by what? The new nature and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit through praying in other tongues brings the new nature forward. It rises up higher and higher, supersedes the power of the flesh. You push the flesh down. Spirit man rises high. You overcome. Live a godly, righteous life. Make it to heaven. He says, because you have this now. He says, this is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, for this very reason, make every effort. Every effort. That means, get out of my way. I am doing this thing. Nobody's going to stop me. Every effort. Every effort. That's what you got to do when you wake up in the morning to go to work. You got to make every effort to go there, and you don't feel like going, do you? Amen. Sometimes you don't feel like getting up. Especially if you're think about a real tired day when it takes a lot of effort. That's what he's talking about. You're not always going to feel like doing it, but this is not optional. He says to make every effort, every effort, every effort. Ask yourself if you're making every effort. If you're not, I'm not going to tell you you're okay. It's not safe because you're going to hear what he's going to say next. Okay? You know I'm always going somewhere with what I say. He says this, make every, for this very reason, because you're born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. You receive the divine promises that are going to help you escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness into goodness, knowledge, and a knowledge self-control, and a self-control perseverance, and a perseverance godliness, and a godliness brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness love. He gives you a list of a whole bunch of virtues you're supposed to make every effort to add to your faith. Are you doing that? I don't know how to do it. We're telling you how to do it. You meditate His Word day and night. Feed your spirit. Pray in tongues. He told you about through the new nature. He just told you right there. Through the new nature. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit together. That's praying in tongues. If you'll feed your new nature and pray in tongues, He's going to get you to add all those virtues in if you're pressing into God. He says, if you possess these qualities, those virtues he just listed, he said, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that's because you're making every effort to do so. He says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you're not making every effort to add all those virtues into your spirit through what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Worshipping God, so on and so forth, fasting, pressing into God. He says you could be ineffective and unproductive. That doesn't sound very saved to me. Doesn't sound good at all, does it? What did Jesus say to the guy that had the one talent that did nothing with it? It wasn't good, was it? No. He said, well done to the one, well done to another. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. Throw him into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He did nothing with his salvation. I don't want to be that one, I'll tell you right now. So he says this. Then he says this. If you do these things, if you do what things? You make every effort to add to your faith goodness into goodness, knowledge and knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He says if you do these things, you will never fall. Which means that if you don't do those things and you're not making every effort, there's a good chance that you are going to fall. And a lot of Christians start out good. They start the race. He said, let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see? He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Run this race with perseverance. You need to, you know, if you were carrying a bunch of baggage and you're trying to run a marathon, would that not slow you down and hinder your run? Do you think you, if you got 100 pounds on your back and you got to run 26 some odd miles, you think you're going to finish that race? Probably not. You'd probably be next week before you get there. Too late. That's what he's saying. You got to throw off the sin so easily entangles and everything that hinders. You throw off all the corruption of the world through the transformation process and you can run with perseverance. It takes endurance. He told us to pray for an endurance. You know, Colossians chapter 1, he talks about praying for patient endurance, the long suffering, and the fullness of joy. If you do these things, you'll never fall, and you receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. Even though you know them, he says, I'll always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. He said, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know I'll soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. This is Peter talking. He knew when he was going to die. And then he said this, so I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He keeps mentioning memory, memory, remember, memory. He says it over and over. He says, and these people he were talking to were mature Christians, apparently. He said they were firmly established in the truth they had. Amen. So we want to, even though if we are, we know these things and we're firmly established, we want to press in all the more. So I'm just here to remind you today. That's all. If you want to read that, I just quoted the whole chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, most of the chapter. It's what God wants for you today. Why do we want to pray, Pastor Dan? Let me tell you some things that are going on. Some of you tried to find this. You sent me some things from 2014. In Canada, they're trying to redefine marriage, which includes animals. Bestiology.
Oh, man.
Some people have already married animals. You don't think so?
Oh.
These are facts.
Wow.
Bestiology was what some of the things that were going on before the flood. You don't think the world's getting more corrupt?
Oh, dear Lord.
Michigan State trying to pass the law. First graders have the right to declare which gender they identify with in schools in first grade.
Oh, man.
In other words, if they're a boy, they can walk in and say, I want to be a girl in first grade. You think Satan's not gaining control? I can tell you why it's happening. People aren't praying as they should. They're not praying in tongues like they should. They're not stopping it. Oak Creek. The teachers establish a cross-dress day in order to be able to identify with someone who is a transvestite, transgender person, some kind of sympathy towards them to help them feel the way they feel. And they forced them, and a lot of parents said that wouldn't even let their kids go to school on that. They thank God for people with some kind of morals today. These are just a few things that are happening. What are we going to do? We're going to pray. Are we going to talk about what's going on? I just told you what's talk about. There's no need to talk about it outside this building anymore. You go on and talk about it, you're practicing witchcraft. Just forget about it. Let me do the talking about what's going on. The reason I do it is to help get some kind of glimmer of compassion in you to realize just how corrupt things have become. So we're supposed to, he says we're supposed to do everything without complaining or arguing so you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold on to the word of life. That's Philippians 2:14 through 16. So the way we shine like stars in the universe in a corrupt and wicked generation is through holding on to the Word. But in order to hold on to the Word and lift up that standard of light, you've got to put the Word in you. How are we going to do that? I can't read. We can listen to it. Well, I can't afford a CD player. Come after service. We're going to buy you one. Amen. If you're in this service and you can't read and you can't even afford headphones, we'll buy you one. We've done it multiple times. We want to make sure you're getting the Word. Well, I'm deaf and I'm blind. We're going to get you some Braille. We're going to find a way to get the Word in you because it's not enough. Not enough. This is just a good full course meal for an hour. What are you going to do the rest of the week to stay strong and vigorous when the devil tries to kick you on your way out of church today? Because that's what he does. How do you know, Pastor Dan? Jesus said, Satan comes to steal the word immediately. Immediately comes to steal the word. That's before you even leave the service. He tries to whisper over here and say, this isn't that important. We've heard this message before. I'm still not going to do it. The devil stole the word from you. Pastor Dan says we should pray in tongues at least a couple hours a day. I'm not going to do it. The devil stole the word. Pastor Dan says we should read 5 to 10 chapters a day. Minimum is what he recommends. Don't force anybody to do anything, but I'm telling you what will give you success. I'm not going to do it. Satan stole the word. Right there, he stole the word right again. Pastor Dan says we should be fasting on a regular basis, but I'm not going to do it. Satan stole the word. Forget that. Forget that. Let's do what the word says. Amen. What does the word say to do? It says to fast, pray, and give. Jesus said is how we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He also said in my name they'll speak in new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. We pray for people all the time. I've probably prayed for, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people and see, I don't know how many of them got healed, but I can tell you the majority of them did because I don't get to follow these people around for a week afterwards. I believe that every time I lay hands on someone, they're instantly healed. It's up to them to keep the healing is what I'm trying to say. We've had constant testimonies of answered prayer. Pastor Dan, you won't believe. What am I not going to believe? You know, we've had people that had all sorts of emotional problems 2 years later, still healed. Went off all the medications, completely healed from one 15-minute prayer. We've had heart problems, people that said they are having heart pain, gone. We've had kidney and liver damage, failure, gone. Healed. All sorts of different healings. Cast many devils out of people. Many, many people who are tormented in their minds, demon-possessed, cast them out.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Had one woman I just did a deliverance with, and the next day she said that all of her, after casting the devil out, her senses were heightened. Seeing, smelling, tasting, everything was heightened. I said, that's interesting. I can see how that would happen. I said, why is that, Lord? And he said this is what he said to me. He said, anywhere there is a demon agency at work in a body, there is death at work in that body.
Amen.
And they are enforcing the curse of the broken law. That's what he said to me.
Amen.
So when there's a demon inside someone's body, they're enforcing the curse to one level or another, and it was hindering that person's sight, smell, taste, hearing, so on and so forth. Cast the devil out, and all of a sudden their senses are heightened. I've prayed for people who walked in here, looked like death walking in here, and prayed for them, and they come 2-3 weeks, and they looked beautiful. Michelle, how many times have we seen people's countenances change? You look at them when they walk in and you're thinking, man, where did that person just crawl out of? And after a couple weeks, they come in here and their whole face is brightened. It just looks like life is on that person. Why is that? Because they're growing spiritually. It's affecting them physically. Amen. You want to be, if you're a woman, you want to be extra beautiful, just keep on pressing into God. Amen. You're a man and you want to be extra handsome, just keep on pressing into God. I've seen people who've left, not come back for 6 months, walk in the door and looked over the crowd, and I thought, who is that person? I've never seen this person before. Somebody better go greet them. And when they come up in the prayer line and got closer, I found out it was someone that I knew very well. I even walked halfway into the crowd and looked at them, and I couldn't recognize them. Why? Because you're going to wear the spirit that you carry around with. Amen. And if you carry around ugly spirits on the inside, they may just manifest on the outside. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do, Pastor Dan? We're going to pray in tongues. Why? Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought, evidently, if these types of things are happening. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray in tongues. We're going to meditate God's word and fast. If you have a problem with sexual perversion, if you have a problem with smoking or drinking, if you have a problem with any other work of the flesh that could damn your soul to hell forever, fasting is the key to mortify that thing once and forever.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. If you just can't seem to break your adulterous habit with the world, you just can't let go of the movies, the songs, all the filth in the world, and you already pray in tongues and read the word, then it's time to start fasting. Add the next level on and start calling yourself free. If you're bound up by some kind of sin, I thank you that I'm free from sexual perversion. I thank you that I'm free from smoking. I thank you that I'm free from drinking. I thank you that I'm free from worry.
Amen.
That's a big one. Jesus said, do not worry, Matthew 6:25. It says in the Old Testament, he says, do not fret, it leads only to evil. It just causes us problems. Amen. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to spend the last couple minutes praying in tongues. If you have never prayed in tongues, then we're going to pray with you after service. Amen. So let's just all, everybody, just we can quietly, if somebody will close the door. When we pray in tongues in a church service, unless everybody listen carefully, these are the instructions of the Bible. When we pray in tongues, if there's no interpreter present, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So we're not supposed to be coming out in outbursts of tongues during worship and outbursts of tongues, he says, because if the other person's not edified. But when we're all together praying in tongues corporately, that's okay. But otherwise, we're supposed to do it. He didn't say not to do it. He said you should do it, but quietly, so you're not interrupting other people that are trying to focus on worship and so on and so forth, or the teaching. Amen? So let's all pray in tongues out loud now. Just pray, Father, you'd reveal things to the people right now that we need to change. I pray you'd your conviction of the Holy Ghost would come upon them. If there's anything that needs to be rearranged or purged and pruned, I pray you'd work in them now. Says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, that builds yourself up in religious virtue and practice, it says in the Greek.